Happy Wednesday. This is the Big K Morning Show. I'm Larry Richard, and in our 7 o'clock hour on Wednesdays, we welcome the Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, Rich Fitzgerald, in studio. Rich, good morning.
Larry, it's good to be with you. Has anything gone on in the last week since I've been here?
Oh, my gosh. Just, you know, they had a survey that said most Americans are anxious about the election. They're having anxiety, which we get. But let me ask you, since you were so close to the mail-in balloting procedure we had certainly 4 years ago, made international news. I saw you on CNN back then counting ballots. And those were, because of COVID, the mail-in balloting process was instituted, but many states have continued that process because you used to have few exceptions, right?
That's right. The only way you could get an absentee ballot was to have, now we call it no excuse balloting, but back then you had to have, quote, an excuse, a college kid that was away at school, a professional business person who was out of town on business, if you were ill. You had to have a reason to get an absentee ballot. And you're right, we would get, I forget the number, we might get 5 or 10,000 absentee ballots. In 2020, we had almost 400,000 applications. I think 340,000 or so that were ultimately returned and showed to be good ballots. So we, back in the county election department, we were overwhelmed. It was the very first time that it happened. It was the first time we used those kind of scanning machines, et cetera, et cetera. Counties, including Allegheny, have gotten much better. And you remember, even the last couple of elections, they've been able to give the results at 8:01, literally 1 minute after. In fact, I think last time it was like 18 seconds after the polls closed, which is when you're allowed to release it. So this year, we still have a high number. I don't think it'll hit 400,000, but it may hit close to 300,000. But my guess is because of the increased efficiency of what the county is able to do, you will get the mail-in results that night, Tuesday night next week or 2 weeks.
So you feel pretty confident about that here.
I do. And I think even the other counties in Pennsylvania, states all have their own rules. And in Pennsylvania, you're not allowed to begin the counting process with mail-in ballots until 7 o'clock. The morning of election, meaning when the polls open, they can begin opening the envelopes, flattening them out, stacking them, scanning them, all that kind of stuff. Other states begin that counting process much earlier. Florida, for example, Ohio, other states. So it's easier for them to have their results that night. I can't speak to all the other counties, particularly some of the big ones like Philadelphia and Montgomery County, but my sense is they will have the results Tuesday night.
Georgia has been very atypical because a lot has changed in 4 years, including they can have some in-person voting in advance.
Yes. We do it a little bit differently. We're not allowed to have in-person voting that you would do at your polling place. But what the county has done this year has had these, quote, satellite locations, North Park, South Park, I think CCAC over in Homewood and a couple of other locations, where on certain hours you can go in and get an absentee ballot, a mail-in ballot, fill it out right then, and then drop it in the drop box at that point.
So it's a de facto in-person voting, even though it's technically mailed in. And I passed North Park where they had the skating rink as a polling place, and it was packed. I mean, it was packed Saturday and Sunday. People were there.
Some people feel very confident. I think they've had close to 7,000 votes cast the way you're describing, with people showing up at the satellite location. And I believe they've had 125,000 total that have been already mailed in, are in the bin, and going to be counted on Election Day.
There'll be a lot of scrutiny on...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Which... Even whenever the results are given at any given state, and then it'll be a long time before. It depends on how it goes, I guess.
Well, what they have over in the warehouse is where the machines are and where the counting starts to open up and begin. There are staging areas where people can go and monitor. And I do remember 4 years ago, those corrals, because they're kind of fenced in where people can stand and observe, are packed. And they can see everything on screens, too, because there are TV cameras everywhere. I mean, that whole warehouse is you can't do anything that's not going to be seen on screen, which is also a way for people to observe.
You feel very confident, obviously, in the process.
I do. And you've also seen some kind of highly elected officials, former officials, people like Governor Corbett and others who have I forget the organization that they're Fair Vote or Safe Vote or whatever they call it, where they've come out and said, yes, this is going to be done right. It has been done right in the past. Now, there are always going to be people that are going to float the conspiracy theory. I voted for A and they switched my vote to B, or, you know, vice versa. But no, it's a secure process. People can feel confident about that.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to the head of global policy and regulatory affairs. What does that person do exactly?
Well, what we care about is they bring in a lot of jobs
right to
Allegheny County and Western Pennsylvania around energy.
Coming up next on the Big K Morning Show. We continue our conversation with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, and introducing a special guest.
Yes, a very special guest. And Craig Gordon is with us today, and we get excited anytime somebody's going to talk about bringing jobs here to Southwestern Pennsylvania. And we're going to a big announcement that they made yesterday. Mr. Gordon, welcome, and tell us a little bit about, number one, your company, and number two, what is a linear generator?
Well, good morning, Rich. Good morning, Larry. Thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here in joining the great folks in the Pittsburgh region this morning. So a little bit about our company, Mainspring Energy. We're a Silicon Valley-based startup. We've been around for about 15 years. The first 10 years, we're all focused on R&D and building this thing called a linear generator. And the last four and a half years, has been about commercializing the technology, scaling up, and delivering our linear generators to customers across the country. So a linear generator is one of the most innovative power generation technologies available today. We can run on natural gas, we can run on hydrogen, we can run on biogas, we can run on landfill gas, pretty much any type of gaseous fuel, coal mine methane, for example, we can turn into power. But we don't use flame to do it. It's a non-combustion reaction process, which reduces emissions almost to a negligible amount. Our NOx emissions on natural gas are 97% lower than what you would get from a diesel engine. So we're a much cleaner profile power generator than is available on the market at the distributed scale that we're at, as well as utility scale that we can scale to as well.
And opening up this plant is going to produce 600 permanent jobs, 600 manufacturing jobs once it's constructed, almost 300 jobs to build it out. And I remember being with Maureen McLaughlin when we were kind of walking the halls in D.C. about 6 weeks ago. And we got to give a kudos and shout out to our senators, Mr. Casey and Mr. Fetterman and Mr. DeLuzio, Congressman DeLuzio, as we went and visited these legislators to make the case that they ought to be investing here in Southwestern Pennsylvania. And the fact is, this $87 million grant that we received from the Department of Energy and Secretary Granholm is great for this region. I also want to congratulate you on picking Southwestern Pennsylvania. We consider ourselves an energy capital of this country, and it's a great place to do business.
Yeah, thanks so much. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Congressman Reschenthaler and Kelly, because they were also very supportive of the project and submitted letters of support to us as well.
And we did, and we went, you're right, and we went and visited their offices as well and had discussions with their folks. Thank you, yes.
Oh, yeah, and just like, big shout-out to you all. You've got the Steelers, you've got the Bucks, Penguins, but I'd argue that the Allegheny Conference is right up there in the big leagues too. And, kudos to Stephanie, Matt, Patty. They did a heck of a job pulling us into Pittsburgh and making us feel very welcome. It's a professional team you've got there, and we're very much excited about continuing to build our relationship in Pittsburgh. It's so exciting.
Very much so. We are proud of the, it was really the conference who organized the entire trip. And we had a number of our county commissioners who were with us. County Executive Inamorata was part of that delegation. And again, all working together. And one of the things you will find out about this region is we do work together and we do work across party lines. You will see Kelly and Reschenthaler working with Casey and Fetterman, et cetera. And it's just something we do because we get excited about jobs and we certainly get excited about next generation of technology when it comes to energy. And it sounds like your company's leading the way.
We'd like to think so. We're getting deployment. We're making deployments to grocery stores. We're also working with big utilities. We're working on a very large deal with the utility in Colorado right now, which would be our biggest project to date, which has over 200 of our linear generators that would be installed there. So we're talking to data centers all over the country. We've done some data center deals already this year. We can't announce, but there's a premium on power, getting power right now. And you've got the retirement of legacy generation that's happening. You've got it happening in your own backyard in Pittsburgh. I grew up in Indiana County, so I can vouch for, some of the plants in that area. And some of them are no longer online, but our technology is able to take what we have today in terms of clean fuel, natural gas, and we can run it on hydrogen, in the future. So we know that Pittsburgh is also part of a hydrogen hub that was awarded by DOE, and we're very interested in accelerating the growth of hydrogen as a clean fuel into our economy as well. So, whether it's on gas or hydrogen, ammonia, biogas, like our technology is ready to ramp and scale with the data center world, with utilities that are looking for a cleaner option. And we're looking to scale up, manufacturing in Pittsburgh. It's so exciting.
Where will this be? What will be the infrastructure that people will see in the future?
So the building that we're going to have is about 300,000 square foot, and it's going to be on the north side of the airport, just east of the Dick's Sporting Goods headquarters. So if you're familiar with that part
Yes.
of town, that's exactly where we'll be.
Outstanding. Well, this is exciting.
And a guy, we didn't know you were from Indiana. That gives you even more kudos to be here. And we love, that place has been an energy producer for many, many years and continues to be. And that does that mean that you still root for that black and gold team that you grew up with?
Oh, yeah. You know it.
Well, we're off to a good start there, and this is just really terrific. 600 jobs to be producing, I think it's up to 1,000 of these linear generators a year, if I read the announcement, and to be shipping them all over the world. But these data centers, Larry and I have been talking about this for months, about the need, the insatiable need for electrical power because of these AI and the data centers that are going to be needed. And sounds like you guys are filling exactly what we need to see.
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants clean power, including the big data center companies, and we've got it. And it's really hard to build big new power plants these days. There's a lot of local opposition to it. It's hard to build big transmission lines. But if you can build linear generators that can be scaled up to the size that you need, it's a perfect combination. So
outstanding.
We're ecstatic about it.
This is good news. This is great news. Greg, come see us here at KDK sometime. We'll give you the nickel tour of the world's first radio station. And we're back in Westinghouse Electric.
Exactly.
Day, so.
Back to the future, as they say,
there's
right?
Always a link.
That's right. I look forward to it. I remember KDK as a kid growing up in Indiana. So this is all, it's all like coming home to me. So thank you so much for welcoming us to Pittsburgh.
You got it.
Very good. Thanks,
excited.
Greg.
Greg Gordon on the Big K Morning Show. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Executive Director Rich Fitzgerald of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Rich, you get excited when there's jobs being brought to the region, and I certainly get that. So this company, Mainspring, again, and we just talked to their head of policy, and he's very excited that they're going to be able to do this right here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and you may remember a couple years ago when Secretary of Energy, Secretary Granholm, hosted a worldwide conference. She hosted it in Pittsburgh along with Carnegie Mellon University, and they brought over 30 countries, energy ministers from around the world who came to Pittsburgh, and she was talking about exactly what we're starting to see with this with company Mainspring, about new generation of technology, new products that are going to be developed to produce energy and do it with less emissions. And I think Pittsburgh is going to continue to see this in the region. And I was proud to be down in Washington, D.C. with a dozen or so of our county officials coming down, working together to make sure that Pittsburgh was going to get, you know, some of this money that's coming out with the federal IIJA and the CHIPS and Science Act and the IRA, all these funds. And to see that our congressional delegation came together, Democrats and Republicans, to get these jobs is something we're known for and something we're good at.
And we talked last week, Joanna Dovin, who put together that incredible artificial intelligence symposium, and NVIDIA, this company, speaking of chips, that reminded me, $3.4 trillion company out of California, and their first big push is going to be here.
Exactly. And you think about two Silicon Valley companies, the one we announced yesterday and to talk today, Mainspring, and then NVIDIA as well is also a Silicon Valley company, one of the biggest companies in the world, as you said, now planting their flag here in southwestern Pennsylvania. And I think Greg talked about it, you know, being out near the airport, being with the gas, because gas is going to be used to as a power source in generating this clean energy that's going to be used. And again, we get all excited about the technology, but what it's come down to is jobs. Jobs and opportunity for our young people. To have 600 manufacturing jobs right here, I think in Coriopolis is where they're talking about, or Moon in the airport corridor, is going to be good. And I think it's just the very beginning of where we're going to be.
What about nuclear? Is there still a position for nuclear power? I know you talked about Three Mile Island. They're going to maybe restart that.
I think that's also part of the mix. I think nuclear, which takes a little bit longer because of regulatory and some of the approval processes, it will be interesting to see how quickly that they go and turn on the switch, if you will, with Three Mile Island. Microsoft signed a deal with them because they want all that power that's get generated. And right now it's a battle for trying to get that power that is being produced. So now companies are ramping up power production, and we're going to see that. The irony is we've seen power plants like Cheswick and Homer City and others that have been taken offline, old coal-fired power plants, being replaced by this new generation of technology.
It's exciting, and this ensures a future for a lot of young people here if they choose.
It does, and you know, we've talked earlier, I guess, you know, months ago, that we had 40 to 45,000 unfilled jobs. That number keeps coming down. I think the latest I saw was like down to 18,000 jobs that are unfilled in this region. So people are picking up these jobs. People are going back to work. But we got to continue to produce more opportunities for people. And things like the AI conference that Joanna and her team put together last week, along with today's discussion around Mainspring, there's just, the future is bright.
And that said, in terms of the strength of the universities around here, there's a partnership mentioned in NVIDIA with Carnegie Mellon University and Pitt.
Yeah, it is. And we've got, you know, two leaders of those institutions, Chancellor Gable, as well as President Jahanian at CMU, who are leaning into this. I mean, they certainly are representing and doing the work for their institutions, but they're also looking beyond that more broadly at what economic opportunities can be part of what comes out of their university to try to keep that technology and keep those jobs here, so that as they develop the next generation of products and the next generation of technology, that the jobs, whether it's artificial intelligence, whether it's autonomous vehicles, whether it's energy production, robotics, et cetera, is going to be done right here in this neck of the world. The other thing that, you know, around robotics, the Tech Council just hosted the Navy. The Navy was in town. Rear Admiral Thomas Anderson for the meeting with, they want to produce robotics manufacturing for all the products that the Navy needs. So that's, again, being done right here. There's so many companies that are producing some of those products for the advanced robotics manufacturing that CMU and the Pentagon has put together a couple of years ago. So that's just one other segment of some of the opportunities that are happening in this region.
Speaking of new, 10 o'clock today, I guess people will get to meet the new athletic director at the University of Pittsburgh, 47-year-old Alan Green. And they're excited about him taking over the reins. It's a new world in college athletics, as you know, too.
It is. And it really is a new world in athletics in general. We just had the championship game of the WNBA the other night. They broke all kind of records. And it wasn't just Caitlin Clark, because her team didn't make the finals. It was the New York Liberty against the Minneapolis Lynx, the Minnesota Lynx. And we've seen for women's sports has really exploded. And you're right, NIL, which is affecting both men's and women's athletics. And, you know, we're excited, you know, Pitt with the football team having a great year this year. The volleyball team being number one, the soccer team. And again, for some of these athletes, there's a real opportunity for them to benefit and cash in on their talents.
What are your daughters work in that world?
I think I've done one of those daughters works in that world, and she's excited about what's been happening. And you know, we got to get that Pittsburgh franchise, and one of those sports I think need to come to Pittsburgh.
Do you think we could support a WNBA team?
Absolutely.
I see.
No question. We could definitely do that. So. You know, we just need, you know, maybe a Thomas Tall or one of those innovative owners that want to own a good franchise to our friend in Dallas, who's been involved a little bit in the political process, or maybe even Elon Musk. He wants to invest in Pittsburgh. Maybe we get him to own a team.
Write a check. Maybe David Tepper. He writes a lot of big checks.
David Tepper.
Some final thoughts coming up with Rich Fitzgerald next. Western Pennsylvania Commission, one of the missions of what you do, I know, is about infrastructure. Let's talk about the bridges for a minute. You and I were just talking about the bridge that links Boulevard of the Allies to Schenley Park. Finally, we got it seems like a game plan to finish that. But all the work, I mean, we have so many bridges. It's such an important topic.
Well, the national survey that came out, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, saying that Pennsylvania, back in 2023, fixed more bridges than any state in the nation, to over 200 bridges. And now in 2024, it looks like they're on track to do 100 more than they did the year before. So that's good that we are investing in making our roads safer, making them more efficient. And the other study that came out talked about roundabouts. Now, we don't see as many roundabouts in Allegheny County as you may see in some more rural communities, but they have reduced serious injuries and fatalities by over 51%. At these dangerous intersections that they've, instead of having the stop sign or some other method of getting people to stop, using the roundabout. So there's some improvements, and I got to give PennDOT a lot of credit. They've been great for us to cooperate with and work on. And then the other thing I will say, Larry, I want to talk maybe in the coming weeks. Slippery Rock University is really one of the, not hidden gems, we all know about Slippery Rock, but what President Riley and her team have been doing in Butler County to keep young people and produce the next generation of workers is really impressive. We want to hear about what they're doing.
Sounds good, Rich. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Wednesday. You going to the Stellars game Monday night?
We're going to be watching it on the we'll be listening to you, Larry, but we'll be watching it on the couch like many Pittsburghers.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Thanks, Larry.
All right.
See you next week.
You got it.